Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at theqfilmcast.net. Just click the link in the upper right-hand corner and choose from over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's Audible.com.
Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that. Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks for tuning in. If it's our first time together, let me tell you what we do. We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That along with our weekly top three list, which is inspired by the movie in question. And this week we're treading lightly as we queue up the 2010 Wheel Done Lost Its Bearings thriller.
Oh, God.
Rubber, from writer-director Quentin Dupieux, French, obviously, starring Steven Spinella, Roxanne Mosqueda, and love this name. God, I wish I could have this. Wings Hauser.
Wings Hauser was the best.
Wings Hauser.
Wings really was the best, though. I love Wings Hauser. I didn't even recognize him. I was like, whoa, that's Wings Hauser.
Because you haven't seen him in 20 years.
Yeah, really.
I feel like such a nerd. I can't remember Wings Hauser.
He was in everything.
Yeah. Okay, well,
in the 80s.
Seen nothing.
Right.
All right, so there it is. That's the film, Rubber, 2010. And if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take. And if not, hey, just keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. So once again, I'm Michael along with James. Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, maestro?
You know, I'm doing okay, James. You know, my head did not spontaneously combust. I wasn't terrified as I drove by the Goodyear store.
It's not spontaneous. It's
those are good things.
Firestone is absolutely terrifying,
though. Yeah, they was for a while.
Yeah, it was. And obviously, to your left, you have Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear, as always. He sits right there.
Hey, hi.
Good enough.
Hi.
Yeah. I went back to the standard, the quality outerwear. That's all we need to know today.
What have we been doing?
Well, I've been shaking it up.
Yeah, my
Italian
bad.
Outerwear.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it made sense for the movie.
Yeah. You know, I thought we were done with the quality outerwear, and then it got cold again.
Never done with quality outerwear.
No, crazy. Yeah. Max Gumbo Johnson, what's going on?
I watched Rubber.
Wow.
Three times.
Lord.
Wow.
Three times. Three times.
Yeah, well, you're burning rubber over there.
Man. I am. I'm ready to talk about this movie.
You just said three times. You watched Rubber three times.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I had seen it before.
Yeah. Okay. So four times.
Sense. Five times.
So you're a rubber lover.
Love rubber. What's going on, Adam?
It's going.
Yeah, okay. All right. So let's talk about a few ways to keep up with this pretty much any way you want to. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, all of that. I recommend, you know what I'm going to say, go to our site, theqfilmcast.net. All right, so we love feedback, guys. Go to our site, qfilmcast.net. Let us know what you think. All right, we're talking about the 2010 film Rubber, written and directed once again by Quentin Dupieux.
Dupieux.
Either way.
Dupieux.
He's known for the films This, obviously, Rubber. And I thought that was the name of the film.
I thought that was the name of the movie. Yes.
I got to get better notes. I wrote down This. I'm like, that's a dumb name for our title. Oh, wait. No, he's known for this film.
Or is it brilliant?
God, one missed word changes a lot. He's also known for Wrong and the film Wrong Cops.
Wrong was a great Wrong movie poster, by the way.
I have no idea.
This
stars people that, other than Wings Hauser, apparently, you've never heard of. Steven Spinella. Wait, Milk, Lincoln, The Jackal, all kinds of TV work.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's been in some stuff. I don't know who he is. Roxanne Mosqueda. Nope. Mosqueda. Right. She's in this film, Fat Girl and Kaboom.
Sure.
There's film stars.
That sounds like a trilogy. Rubber, stuff. Fat Girl, Kaboom.
Boom.
Sorry.
Yeah.
She's also in 13 the series.
Okay. Moving on.
Let's talk about Wings Hauser. You kind of flipped out when I said Wings Hauser. I don't know who this guy is.
You don't know who Wings Hauser was?
No. He was in Death Street USA and The Insider.
Yeah.
Talk to me some more.
God, what was he in? What was that movie they showed on? What was that movie, that horror movie Terror in the Isles, and they kept showing those scenes of him beating his wife over and over and over, and he just went crazy. I don't know what the, I never did find out what the name of that movie was.
I don't know. Let's go look at Adams underneath his mattress.
Wasn't he in Nighthawks? Was he in Nighthawks?
I don't think. No,
that's
he wasn't.
Rutger Hauer.
No. He wasn't in Nighthawks.
Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. He was in a bunch of. He was in Tales from the Hood. Beastmaster 2.
He did a lot of gang movies.
Yeah, Beastmaster 2. Yeah.
Okay, so he's one of those guys. That's his career. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those kind of films. Okay.
B movie guy.
A lot of TV work. All right. A lot of TV work.
Interesting. That's what it says here. But yeah, he was also in The Insider. I guess that's kind of an A film. But yeah, this film here, Rubber, inspired, as they all do, a top three. But this week's a little different.
Right.
We're going off the rails. We're going off the into the ditch on this one, as they say. We have our own top three. It's a mystery. We'll reveal that later on after we give our reviews. We each have our own specific top three tied into this film.
Oh,
this ought to be a lot of fun.
You know why?
No reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk about the reasoning behind the ratings here. And before we get into ours, let's tell you what the critics thought. IMDb, what do you think it is, Max?
That's users. I'd say about a 5 point something.
Man, you're close. You're so good at this. You ought to work in a carnival.
Yeah.
5.8.
Martin.
5 point. Yeah. You can have everything here below the eraser and the chiclet's gone, not including.
5.8.
5.8. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Rotten Tomatoes? Critics, 68% fresh.
I can understand that.
Yep. There's probably no reason, though.
Is that how it's going to be?
Yeah.
Enough of that.
No, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah. And users coming in at 46% fresh. So,
yeah, I can understand that.
Man, that's strange. Usually the users are way up and the critics are way down. That's weird, man. It's because people are stupid. Okay, let's get into a little bit of a synopsis on this film, tell you what this is about. This ought to be nice. And here's what you have. Rubber is the story of Robert.
Oh.
An inanimate tire that has been abandoned in the desert and suddenly and inexplicably comes to life. As Robert roams the bleak landscape, he discovers that he possesses terrifying telepathic powers that give him the ability to destroy anything he wishes without having to move. At first content to prey on small desert creatures and various discarded objects, his attention soon turns to humans, especially a beautiful, mysterious woman who crosses his path, leaving a swath of destruction across the desert landscape. Robert becomes a chaotic force to be reckoned with and truly a movie villain for the ages. Really. Directed by legendary electro musician Quentin Dupuis, Rubber is a smart, funny, and wholly original tribute to the cinematic concept of no reason.
No reason.
No reason. In a world where there's no reason, you get Rubber.
Yep.
I'm a little tired talking about this one. Let's hear a clip.
In the Steven Spielberg movie E.T., why is the alien brown? No reason. In Love Story, why do the two characters fall madly in love with each other? No reason. In Oliver Stone's JFK, why is the president suddenly assassinated by some stranger? No reason. In the excellent Chainsaw Massacre by Tobe Hooper, why don't we ever see the characters go to the bathroom or wash their hands like people do in real life? Absolutely no reason. Worse, in The Pianist by Polanski, how come this guy has to hide and live like a bum when he plays the piano so well? Once again, the answer is no reason. I could go on for hours with more examples. The film you are about to see today is an homage to the no reason, that most powerful element of style.
Okay, so there you go. There's a trailer from the 2010 film Rubber, the film we're going to talk about tonight. The very abstract little low-budget thriller about a killer tire named Robert, right? Before we do that, let's get into Did You Know? This is something we always do with every film. Did you know that one of the spectators is played by Daniel Quinn, who starred in Scanner Cop, 1994, as a man who could make people's heads explode with his mind?
Whoa,
no.
What kind of a tie-in are you talking there?
That's a little serendipitous.
Scanner Cop. I wonder where they got that from.
Did you ever see that film, Adam? You probably have it.
I know I don't have that one, but it's I got something that's kind of close to Scanner Cop.
I've seen the box. I've seen the box of that Scanner Cop.
That Scanner Cop.
Did you know that writer-director Quentin Dupuis, whatever.
Quentin.
He's Quentin. Dupuis is often known for his alias, Mr. Oizo.
Oizo?
Yeah, that's what he's known as, Mr. Oizo.
That's what his friends did the music.
He did the music, yeah. He's like known all over Paris as Mr. Oizo.
Like a French DJ or something, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, We don't use thumbs up or thumbs down around here. Why is it? What do you think it is?
Because it's dumb.
It's dumb. Stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, we don't do that. We let the film tell us what we want to do. And here's the currency for tonight, guys. We're going with skid marks.
He left them all over the bed.
How appropriate.
Adam, you could rate every movie with that, personally. No, sorry. No, but this is what we're going to go with tonight, guys. It's 1 through 10 skid marks.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's because of tire. Let's just keep it.
Tire.
Let's keep it classy, okay, guys?
Let's keep it classy. And that is what we're going to go with here. So, oh, and by the way, this is also, let's get into this before we get into our ratings, okay? This is a listener pick.
That's an important did you know.
It's a very important. This is the most important of did you know. This is a should you. This is a you should know.
Right.
It's a difference there. Local listener. Listener of the show. And who is that, Adam?
Marshall Fletcher.
Marshall Fletcher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we put this out. Actually, she gave us a few options. We put it out on Twitter. This is what came back as the film we should talk about.
Right.
So another listener episode. Marshall Fletcher. And how about we do this? We had her kind of give us her rating first.
Right.
Let's let her lead the way. What do you say, Max?
That's fine with me.
What do you say, Adam?
Good? Sure, why
Let's
not?
Let's do this. Here's what Marshall said. Oh, by the way, she says, hi, Mom. I'm on a podcast kind of show.
Hey, Mom. And she hi, might, Marshall's mom.
Hi, Marshall's mom.
She might have stole this from me. Just saying. Just saying.
I think you just said. You just said.
I don't know.
She kind of admits stealing it from me.
Oh, she does? I got to read it.
Okay.
Here's what she has to say about the film before we get into our reviews. Rubber is a flick with an absolutely ridiculous premise. What's she talking about? When it came out, it's all I could talk about, probably because it's something so wildly different. After rewatching it, the parts I kept thinking about are all the scenes in the audience of the audience in the desert watching the film through binoculars. I know Max will probably have a lot to say about this, so I won't steal his thunder.
Right.
Marshall says, I give Rubber 7 out of 10. She says exploded heads. No, those are skid marks.
Those are skid marks. 7 out of 10 skid marks.
And she does love Steven Spinella. So that's what Marshall has to say. That's why she wanted us to cue this film up. Actually, a lot of people did. I've heard this thing bounced around a few times. Frank likes it.
Frank likes it?
Frank. That's curious.
That's very...
Oh, that was bad.
No, it's good.
We got to stay away from that kind of stuff, guys. Oh.
A movie like this? No, yeah. We're all over it.
Yeah, so let's get into this, guys. Let me see who goes first. Usually it's the guy that cues up the film. Heck with this, I'm going to Adam first. Adam, 1 Wait. To 10 skid marks. I just love saying that to him. 1 to 10 skid marks, the film Rubber 2010. What you got for this?
5.
Yeah, you're in the middle lane.
I am.
You're not getting off the exit. You're not going to go in the fast lane. You're right in the middle.
Nope. Okay. There, wrong yellow line.
We get it.
Got it. Moving on.
Five.
Yep.
5 skid marks for the producer. And Max Gumbo Johnson rolling along. Well, how many skid marks are you going to get in this film?
8. I say low.
8 solid skid marks. 8 black burned hard down on the road skid marks.
Wow.
We're talking like hit and run skid marks.
Hit and run skid marks. Right. Yes. I say low. I like this movie.
Okay. Moving on over to... the patron saint of quality outerwear, that's Matthew Saint Hoodie. Give it to me, what you got? 1 to 10, skid marks.
I'm going to go 7. I was prepared to really not like this movie at all, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay. moving on over to Hard Sub, man. We got an 8, we got a 7, we got a 5. What you going to go with?
Because of the way they set up this film, I'm going to go a straight 5.
Okay.
As well. We'll get into why. I'm a 5.
Okay. All right, so that leaves it up to me, rounding this thing out. Okay, what do I give this thing? Man, this is a strange one for me to land on. I'm somewhere between a 1 and a 2.
I sort of figured that was gonna, that was your house.
A unicycle or a motorcycle?
Yeah, there you go. You gotta pick it. I'm going to go 2 because I liked the 4 or 5 minutes of trickery with Robert pretty well known. That's it. Yeah, I'm gonna go 2. No. 2 on this thing. But yeah, there you go. There you go. Let's go back to where we were with
27.
Look, man, it's not that I don't like these kind of films.
It's better than
hit
and run.
You look at what I gave Computer Chess. You know, you look at Holy Motors. Look at the great Upstream Color. It's not that I don't do these kind of films, but I'll get into that in a minute. Adam, what you going to go with, man? Give us your reason for a 5.
Well, when I first heard this movie was coming out, I was super excited. I was like, this is a great premise of a movie. I was happy.
That's such an
It's a great premise.
Oh, my God. A tire that kills people? I'm in. Where do I buy tickets for that? That's amazing.
Fandango.
But when I started watching, you know, they dangled this carrot in front of me. You know, I'm, like, following it. And all of a sudden, when I'm about to get the bite of the carrot, they gave me an onion. Uh-huh. I love the idea of the the whole tire story, but the whole premise of the people watching it, and
he loved it for all the wrong.
I know.
Again, that's such your MO. I don't have a clue how that happens to you.
I want the whole story of the tire. I want to know the whole
right his childhood and how he came to be.
He's what this movie's about.
That's exactly. Thank you. I was just about to say that you are the person they are talking about in this movie.
And I'm going to go with this. This movie had great special effects, great cinematography. Some of the best shots I've seen in a long time in a movie, and it was, I thought it was well shot and well made, but the scenes where the audience is, I just cannot stand it. I want more of the story of the tire.
Yeah,
right. Okay. It cannot be more ironic.
Let's move over to Max. Have turned out Max, better. You went high up on this thing. 8, that just blows my mind. Oh, man. That just blows my mind that you fell for this one, but go ahead.
You know what really blows my mind? Adam completely validated this movie and the high rating I gave it. I might bump this up to a 9 because of what you just said.
Wow.
I seriously might. First off,
a killer tire movie.
Okay, the reason they made it a killer tire movie was because it was the most ridiculous thing they could come up with.
That's not true.
No, it is.
I read up on this. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just theorizing here. I didn't read up why they said it was a killer tire.
Hang on. Let's talk about that now. This is a good place.
Tell me why'd they pick that.
Because it was supposed to be, the actual script was about cubes, killer cubes.
Mm-hmm.
When they got down to it, he's like, it's too expensive to have killer cubes. Oh, look, there's a tire. That's the heart of this film. Okay.
Okay. I can go with that.
There was no
budgetary consideration.
There was no thought about, let's make a killer tire movie. It's like, God, these cubes are expensive, floating them in the air, making them look like they're floating. Let's just go with a tire.
Okay. Yeah. But my point was they wanted to come up with something silly and ridiculous and stupid that was basically making fun of a lot of these
G.I. Joe's
junky films from the 70s and 80s, like the killer bed and the one where it was a killer elevator, this stupid object that kills people.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes. Yeah,
I was
expecting
some of that, too.
That's what they were making fun of. But they were trying to make something so stupid and ridiculous and then wrap this story around it about a criticism of people's tastes and what they'll accept as entertainment. So they made this thing so dumb and ridiculous, and then somebody like you comes along and says, I wanted more of that, like the people in the audience. And the guys, like, you know, the people in the audience watching it through the binoculars like, whoa, this is a good part. I'm starting to like it now. And then you got Wings Hauser over there sitting in his wheelchair, which I'll get into that. But, yeah, you'd completely validate this movie. Thank you, Adam.
Let's burn on over to Matthew St. Hoodie.
Yeah.
You gave this a what, a 5?
7. No, a 7. I went high on this one. I know. I legitimately went in this planned on hating this movie. I
can do that for you. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I said there's no hope for me liking this movie. I thought Adam loved it, so I was like, automatically, I'm out. There's no way that I could possibly like this movie.
Did you say last week that you had chosen specifically never to watch this movie?
True that. So, yeah, that's exactly right. And I had no idea what kind of movie it was. I really thought it was the premise of the...
Sometimes low expectations can be good like that.
A tire killing people. So the first, 10 minutes of the movie, I was planning on coming in here and talking about Lady Hawk. I even wrote half a page on Lady Hawk. Nice. I was like, I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm just going to talk about Lady Hawk. And that didn't turn out. I was completely wrapped up in this movie. I thought it was just fantastic. I liked all the little nods that were, Wing's hat was brilliant. That was like the best part of the whole thing. I thought it was great. I really did. I just thought it was like one of the funniest things I've seen in a while.
That's amazing. Let's go over to Savage. What you got?
Well, I have to be clear that I went home. I did some research on how to clean out my microwave oven to make sure that the door was very clean on the inside.
Good. You had to look that up.
Cleaned out. Yeah. I mean, there's some funk on the inside of the microwave. Yeah.
Anyways.
So I was prepared to hate this movie as well. I was completely prepared to hate this movie. And then when it came on, there's some suspicious activity with the slalom of the chairs, where they slalomed through the chairs that just fell over. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then he comes up, and then I think this will lead into your point, Mike, where there's an immediate apology, and there's an immediate deference to the responsibility of the content of this film immediately. And from that point on, you're like, how can you really hate it? Because they're already telling you what you're
going
to get.
That's like someone punching you in the face going, well, he told me it was coming.
Well, no, and that's true.
Exactly right.
That's kind of...
And you stuck around.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, in its point. And that's why I give it a 5. If they had tried to pull this off without that honest disclosure at the jump.
Totally disagree.
Completely agree.
I would have hated this film. I would have, and I'm not really sold on this, and I really should be at a one or a two on this film.
Yeah.
There are some good things. It is pretty to look at, like Adam says. It's wonderfully shot.
How can you say it's not?
It's prettily. I mean, it is a beautiful film, and it's
a film. Okay, no, it's not going to sit there and say it's a beautiful film.
It is a beautiful film.
Yeah, the guy who shot this just did some awesome scenery work.
Yeah, handheld Nikon.
But you go to the content.
I don't care what you use.
The only thing it's great.
The only thing that saves this from a zero, if I could go there, would be because I liked. The effect of Robert. I liked Robert's performance. The tire's performance was good. Okay,
and that's one of the points. It's
it's unfortunate that they gave nothing for Robert to really
work with.
Work with.
I thought that he was fantastic.
Go ahead, though, James. Go ahead, then I'll get into mine.
No, finish up.
What you got?
That's why I give it a five. Yeah. There is some nuance. You do kind of pick up some nuance from Robert. As weird as that sounds, that you can pick up nuance from a tire, it's there.
Yeah, it was a good performance by the tire. That effect works in this film.
Right. Yeah. The reason, and again, I'll go back to this, just the reason I give it a five is because it was clear. It was like, don't hate me because this is what I am. They laid that out from the jump. And because if they didn't lay that out from the jump, I would have hated this film.
That is why I hated this film. All right, like I just say, you know, a little while ago, if you want to see this, when I sat down to see this, I was prepared to like it. Kind of like, let's say, once again, Computer Chess. The thing I like about these films is there's always something you can't put your finger on. That's what's charming about them. This weird taste in your mouth, this oddness, this something that shouldn't be on screen, but it's pulling you along.
Right.
And even if you don't get it, you know there's something I can't quite put my finger on. Go back to the Computer Chess movie. Because you can sit there and talk about it, and you get enthralled by it, and it doesn't spill it out. The fact this film had to spill that out for you, what's the point after
that's
that?
Not what it, that's not that's what not it was. What
they were, let me tell you why. Here's why. And first of all, it's not entertaining. How are you possibly entertained by this after watching the tire for a minute? I mean, come on.
That is the point of the whole movie.
I was completely entertained by the tire.
Yeah, but
that's the point of the movie.
I can't believe this went. I mean, it's like this stuff went completely over y'all's heads.
No. Listen. This is a piece of garbage. That's all it is. It's just garbage. I mean, there's nothing here. Well,
Literally, he was a piece of garbage.
Oh, he was, yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. These people, I see him out there trying, what does it really mean? What's the social? There is none. That's his whole point.
No, he's making fun of those people, too. He's making fun of us for being pretentious.
And you're entertained by that?
I'm entertained because you're sitting here going like, how can I be entertained by a tire going around killing people? That's the point.
No. That is not what I said. Say it again. It's not that how are you entertained by a tire killing people. That could be great, like Killer Tomatoes. I'm very entertained by tomato killing people. Okay, but that's not what this film's trying to do. It's trying to say, look, it's all absurd, so I'm just going to keep beating you in the head with absurdity for an hour and a half. How is that entertaining?
That's called a David Lynch
film. It was just the same rehash premise. The acting was horrendous, which obviously it's supposed to be. But the whole thing where you come out and you apologize, try to let yourself off the hook, and say, this is just a film about absurdity, so hey, you know, that's it. Is that really all you're going to show me?
Well, I mean, some people would say that that's what avant-garde art is.
No, it's not avant-garde art. This is garbage.
It's all labeling. I mean, at that point, it's semantics.
Were you not bored? How were you not bored out of your mind with this film?
Because I understood what they were trying to say.
What you just said to me, I understand that. I'm not going to have you say it to me for an hour and a half and be entertained.
Okay, what were they trying to say in this movie? What was the message?
Well, first
of all,
let me tell you what I think happened here. I think someone found out, man, we can make this tire look really cool. Let's make a movie about it.
No.
It was originally cubes.
Whatever.
Whatever.
We can do this with this tire. Come on back tomorrow. We don't worry about a script. We'll just say it's absurd. We just tell them it's an absurd movie and this exercise in absurdity. That's all we need.
No. Oh, so
and they show. Oh, look, we found some chairs over there. Set those up. There's nothing to put your finger on in this thing to lead you along. It's just, it's cute absurdity for an hour and a half. I'm not going to watch it for just that. I mean, give me something to entrance me by.
It's not all it is.
Max, you know what you're saying?
It's so not all it is. Let me talk.
All right, but let me just finish with this. I'll stop.
And then
like saying, do you see that this is a beer bottle?
Yeah.
Okay, stare at it for an hour and a half.
No.
Isn't that great? Isn't that absurd?
No, that would be stupid.
An hour and a half. Well, he didn't get it.
No,
actually, I think
nuance.
Andy Warhol did that.
There's a nuance.
The 24-hour movie, right?
I'm done, though. I didn't like this film. You want to see a good film, watch Computer Chess if you want this kind of thing.
All right.
Go ahead, Max. What you got?
The reason I said this movie validated itself because of what Adam said. The film Rubber about the tire is basically a film within this film. These people are sitting out there watching it.
I get that.
And they're entertained by it. I mean, you didn't pick up on the point where the guy, the producer that gave him all the binoculars, is sitting in his hotel room and he's got to go kill a turkey?
Yeah,
you
I
know what a
you.
Turkey is?
Well, sure, yeah, man, because a turkey's a bad film. They're eating up the bad film.
And then when they thought everybody was dead, the sheriff goes out there and says, oh, okay, we can stop now, we can stop. He's saying, okay, nobody's watching, we can finish, we can give up. And then they find out, oh, wait, hold on, there's one guy still watching and eat the turkey. I mean, this whole movie was about people's acceptance of subpar entertainment and subpar art and them eating it up and lapping it up. Why do you think Wings Hauser played a guy in a wheelchair and he was the only one that didn't suck up what these guys were feeding him? Because he was trapped. He was stuck in that thing, and he represented an audience with good taste and an audience that questions what they're looking at.
I like the thread here. But he had a hat that said classically trained.
Yeah, it did. Was,
right, I understand all
such,
this.
I mean, that's so...
But it just, the whole
me in
thing
the face
just,
with it.
It just... I understand the premise and what they want to do, but it just spun out. It just spun out on me instantly. It's like,
no
okay.
No pun intended.
A film about nothing great.
Okay.
I'm glad they used the tire because that, you know, you could use that to represent what Hollywood puts out. Yeah. It's a retread. It goes in circles. It's round and round. Right. It's the same stuff.
And it runs over you.
Over and over and over. And, I mean, the scenes when they're out in the desert, people are watching it, and the two girls are telling the people to be quiet. And the one guy is saying, you know, oh, he's sort of this pretentious critic-like kind of guy. I mean, it was perfect. It was like an actual audience that you would run into in a film theater.
Exactly.
And they were having the same kind of arguments you would see in a theater. I thought it was brilliant. It was perfect. It was spot on the way it was done.
And making fun of the people who just lap it up, too, was, you know, on the other side of the coin, making fun of all those pretentious folk who, you know, read into every little detail, like, oh, he had a classically trained hat on. That must mean something really important. He's in a wheelchair. I don't think that means it's been classically trained people have been crippled by what's been put out in modern day movies. So it's totally making fun of, you know, us. It's I totally respect that. I thought that was awesome.
But, and it's poison as well.
Well, it killed the audience.
The symbolism.
Yeah, they're all
the threat. But why'd they have to be a bad movie about this? Because
I didn't think it was a
bad
movie.
I think it was a bad movie.
I really didn't.
I mean, here's something to grab onto. All these threads, I can go with it, right? But I'm sitting there thinking, you have all this stuff here. You know, I wanted some more camp. Because in the middle of all this great stuff we're talking about, there has to be some entertainment, some camp, something to kind of bring you along.
I'm with you on that.
It was the same exploding.
That's
exploding.
The camp.
Well, and the characters and the sub-characters that played along with it, there was no richness to them.
No.
There was no dialogue that was funny. There was no dialogue that was clever. It was just the same premise you're talking about.
It was clever.
Rolling along.
No, it was clever in that the dialogue had been rehashed and rehashed. You had the cop that has been over-portrayed in all of these movies. You always got some kind of cop, right? And he was from the 80s, too. I mean, he's even wearing the Chips outfit.
Yeah, the sheriff in the brown shirt. Yeah.
I thought it was great. The Rinky Dink Town. It was Tremors. Straight up Tremors, too.
Well, Tremors was a good film.
But
great. This was a good film. Man.
I'm kind of on board with Mike here because the initial apology in the No Reason monologue, which I kind of like within itself, the No Reason monologue, because sometimes things do happen for no reason, and that is a legitimate plot device. Is it something to make an entire movie on? Are the points that you Max and Matt make are valid as a piece of art? Absolutely they are. I think I had a problem with this, and the only reason I give it the 5 and the middle of the line is because they were upfront with there is no reason to this, and that this is going to be an example of absurdity. But the constant apology for this film, even when, okay, they're done, there's nobody looking, you can stop now, and then he gets shot and the squibs go off, and see, I told you nothing would happen. It's nothing's going on. This isn't really happening. It's that constant apology. Just give me that. You don't have to offer that this is stupid or this is absurd. It's like, yeah, we get it. We got it from the tire killing people. This is going to be an absurd movie. We've accepted that from the jump, the premise. Don't apologize for your premise.
I don't see that they were apologizing.
I don't think they're apologizing. Where are you getting there apologizing for everything?
The whole thing's an apology. It's let me off the hook.
All right.
No. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, well,
is it a good time for a clip?
Why not?
Well, he was about to say something.
Matt's about to speak. Good time to stop.
Go ahead, Matt.
I'll do it later.
All right, I'll tell you, why don't we do that? Just take a quick break here. Let's listen to a little bit of Rubber, and we'll be back in a minute.
Come on. Stop acting like this is real life. I'm telling you, we're done. There's no one watching anymore, okay?
This is real life, Chad. We have a dead body over here.
No. Come on. It's not real life. Look at you. You have a stuffed toy alligator under your arm.
So?
I'm going to show you something. Denise, take your gun.
Why?
Take it. I tell ya, it's an order. Now point it at me and shoot.
No way.
Doug, you do it. Don't think. Just shoot.
Oh, my God.
You see? I don't feel a thing. No pain whatsoever.
It's not real. You understand? Everything is fake.
Rolling along. Okay, there's a piece. There's a clip from the 2010 film we're talking about, Rubber. That's what we're getting into here. Before we went to the break, Matthew St. Hoodie had something to say. Let's talk about gotta talk about, man. That's what we'd like to say, gotta talk about. What is it you gotta talk about, Matt?
What's your GTA?
Everybody's staring at me.
GTA. Ooh, it's official. There you moniker.
Q Film Cast trademark. I just want to compare this movie to No Country for Old Men real
Do
quick.
You?
For just a quick second. There was a lot of desert. It was dry. A lot of tired. Anyway, the thing that I loved about No Country for Old Men was that it broke a lot of the rules of movies. Like, the good guy has to face the bad guy at the end, right? That's something that has to happen for the audience to be satisfied with the movie.
Okay.
Traditionally. Hmm. Right, so No Country broke that rule, got him killed, you know, randomly, for no reason, really.
No
and
reason.
This movie, my favorite scene was the rampage scene. Where the tire just, you know, goes off, just goes crazy. We don't see that at all. It opens up with, you know, just a bunch of headless corpses laying around all over the place. So you didn't see, like, the part of the tire movie that you would want to see.
Right.
They actually broke, they didn't show that. That's the part
that's
the
deleted scene on the DVD.
Just the carnage.
Or you could just watch No Country for Old Men again.
Same movie, really.
Yeah.
Same movie.
Yeah, of course.
So the part of the movie that you're supposed to see going to a movie where a tire is killing people, they don't give you that. They give you the aftermath of that.
Right,
right. And I thought it was beautifully shot again. After that, you have the cops on the hood of the car playing chess. The guy says, you can make that move, but it's against the rules.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought that was great.
So can I or can I?
No, I mean, that was very poignant to me. So yeah. So that was very much so against the rules of these kinds of movies.
Right.
Because what people go to see is the rampage. They go to see this rampage scene. This movie cut all that out, broke the rules, and then the scene immediately after that just, oh, yeah, we broke the rule here. All right. Okay. I thought that was the best.
That's an entertaining conversation we're having right now.
Right.
That's entertainment.
I mean, that's No Country right there.
All right, who wants to jump in? How about Adam? We hadn't heard from him in a little bit. Producer, got to talk about what?
I'm going to go with my favorite scene where the tire is actually animated.
Tire
comes to life.
Okay. I thought I said, what, I miss out like a animation sequence? Okay.
No. I loved when he just comes alive and he's trying to learn to, quote unquote, walk for
that
the
was
first
great.
Time.
Actually, that saved. There's some entertainment in this film.
That was
right
well
now.
Done.
That deserved a one.
It took it from 1-2-2. Go on.
Okay. But yeah, I love that. And I kept wondering how they made that. I'm actually curious how they actually made this tire do all its tricks. I liked all the special effects in this movie. I love the explosions.
Yeah, there were that. Very specific explosions.
And they killed a bunny.
And a scorpion.
But he saved it. He gently put the water bottle out of his misery, though. I didn't like that, too. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. I love that part.
And it was great, you know, just showing this thing coming alive and trying to learn itself and learn every single thing around it.
When I think back about this film, if I got to talk about something, I remember that. I forget everything else.
Yeah.
Because it's still an hour and a half of my time, man. You know, I'm talking about, right. We're talking about all this stuff. It's still an hour and a half of my time, man.
Well, they
you know, entertain me.
Well, I like the fact they showed this tire alive, really. You know, they showed emotion in this tire. And even when he's watching all the tires burn and you just kind of see it in the background, I was like, that's kind of sad for this tire.
Oh, my God.
No,
really,
no,
honestly?
I got to get on board with Adam a little bit. The anthropomorphization of this tire was really well done.
And a Wadahudua?
But that's all you had. Where are all the characters surrounding it that give it even more life?
And I'm
all around it.
I understand that. I understand your point. But the way that they were able to make you empathize with a tire was neat. And I think a lot of that was the camera placement, where the camera was placed online or like in level with the tire along its same track. It was really well shot. I mean, this thing was well lit, well shot. It was cleverly shot. And maybe that was the location and the light and, you know, the
oranges. Yeah, he used the light. What was it, Sparkle Time?
When it came to the tire, the technical stuff was spot on.
Yeah, however remote control tire that they had, whatever device, I mean, just from a purely engineering standpoint, the mechanical device that made that tire move.
Because it wasn't CGI.
That's no.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That was a neat device because, you know, I'm pretty sharp when I look at things and, you know, I can figure out how things work. Max, did you?
I'm going to make one.
Go ahead.
Do you know anything about how they animated that tire?
Well, I sort of figured one way they did it was put a remote control car in there, and we were just outside talking, and he said that Matt said he looked it up, and that is indeed how they did it. They had a real heavy remote control car inside the tire.
If you notice, if you look at the tire, they actually had like some built-in wall.
I did notice that.
So they were hiding. I know it was like some type of remote control.
But the effect.
But then there's a balance.
Right. But the biggest trickery was the tricycle. How do they do the tricycle?
I know. I was looking at that. That was insane.
I mean, I didn't see strings. And you want to talk about a menacing, like Max said, menacing. Very person. I mean, there was a lot of personality.
You found
there.
Menacing in it. Yeah,
it was. Yes. I did too.
It was great.
I thought the ending scene was a little heavy-handed, where they come to the Hollywood sign.
That's exactly right. Like, it was heavy-handed.
To me, it's entertainment value. It just wasn't enough. So it wasn't enough beyond what you say is this big premise beating on me and beating on me and beating on me.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know.
Scenes.
I'll name a couple scenes I liked. I love the scene where he finds the mirror. And he starts reflecting on everything he has done.
That's where
as Matt would say, what have I become? I've become the thing I hate the most. I thought that was really well done. It was funny. I was laughing at it.
Right.
He sees that he's a tire, and then the next scene is the tire's burning. Oh, yeah. He's I get it. Those are me's.
And he was sad when the tires were burning. Yeah.
Obviously.
And who just sets a big fire of tires? Anyway,
tires burn hot, too.
I know they do. They had a long time.
Yeah. They could have made a sequel with zombie tires.
Oh, my God.
Now we're on to something.
I'm on to this.
Here's some turkey. the other scene I really liked. I mean, I liked a lot of the scenes in this thing. I liked the whole movie. But when they have to, quote, unquote, get back into the movie when they find somebody still watching, he takes the tire off his car. He says, this is our suspect. And he says, a tire? He says, yeah. What color is the tire? It's black. He says, what brand is it? And I was waiting. I was like, they got to say there's no brand. And he says, there is no brand. We don't know right now. it's set up so great the way they did that. It just, but I don't see how y'all did not.
Well, don't you think it's like James's point? That joke is told over and over and over and over again. All the time. See, and once
you
that
mean,
joke's
you mean before mean this movie or
jokes
in this movie
about tires?
No, just that whole joke of this has nothing. There's no That's reason. There's the no this. There's no that. This is all a mockery of the film industry and a mockery of what people ingest. You know, to me, and it was just overplayed.
That's what, okay. Another movie about that.
You know, I think that you
name another movie about
that. I think.
Okay. Well, one that's better done is The Player.
No, the Player's. See, the Player's a completely different movie.
Once you put that out there, good. That's established. Now entertain me. Build something around that. I want to see a relationship with Robert and something else. I want to see Robert on his own personal struggle. I want to see
he's a tire.
Obviously, he's a tire. So
they
what?
He's a tire. Struggle.
But this is what I'm saying.
He looked
though.
In a mirror, Michael.
Well, here's the thing. No, you're saying this is a tire. Shut up. I'll run over. I'll get my four tires run over your freaking head.
Right.
But you guys just said, oh, but look at he brought him to life. There's life in that tire. I empathize with this tire, right? So let's go with that a little bit. Let's get some entertainment in this film because I know it's a film about nothing. I know you're going to tell me.
You know, I think
I know you're going to tell me.
I know. But I mean, I think that they did. They had like a quasi him falling in love with the French girl quasi thing with the shower.
And then the mannequin comes out.
So and you're saying this you know didn't have any personality.
It had no personality.
Well, the beginning, he had a lot of personality. He's going through figuring out what he is, what he can do, what he can't do. He's drinking some water, rolling down the street. He's looking at all his brothers burning in a pile.
Right.
And then you know he's looking. My favorite is the mannequin scene.
Oh yeah,
where
I like
she's
that.
in the truck and she's like, "Who writes this crap?" And he's like, "Just read it." That's awesome.
Stick the script.
I would describe this as we get close to Easter as a chocolate bunny. It's hollow inside.
Yeah. Okay,
it's this sweet look. Here it is. Boom! Open it up. You can stare at nothing for an hour and a half.
But it's more like a Reese's cup bunny. Yeah.
But I would say that the director and the makers of this film would agree with you on that is its very point, is that it is hollow inside.
Yeah, I know what that is, but I still have to sit there for an hour and a half and look at it for crying out loud.
Okay. That's your point.
It's tasty with no nutrition.
Right, there you go.
Talk about a retread for crying out loud.
We can't not talk about the last scene. I thought that was awesome.
I love the last
music
scene.
And him being a tricycle now. That was just so
music
funny.
Music was great in this.
Music was awesome. And the last scene, it really did remind me of Drive. The music, him driving down the road, I was like, oh, that's just
They should have
good.
Put one of those cool jackets on Robert.
I'm surprised they didn't. Yeah. I'm surprised
that,
he wasn't.
That would have been, that would have been totally awesome.
Sticker on
I
the
thought
back.
That was great. All the tires popping up and following him all the way to Hollywood. I was like, this is, I was laughing the whole time. And it was a little bit long, but I think it could have gone longer and I would have been even more happy with it.
It was a little long.
I could have sat there and watched that tricycle roll down the street.
I watched it twice.
And listened to that music just all day. I want to talk one real quick thing. You mentioned the end scene. I want to talk of the scene right before the ending scene. Where the Wings Hauser character actually pops into the movie,
yeah,
yeah,
and tells him, "What are you doing? What are you doing here?
Talk
what,
about this? A retread."
Yeah,
go ahead. Okay. You still have not yet named another movie about the same subject.
I'm talking about inside the film. Go ahead.
But yeah, he goes up to the truck and tells him, "You know, what are y'all doing?" Well, the point was to make him explode the stuff itself. Great, brilliant, whatever. Move it along. Let's get moving here. Let's do something.
Yeah,
do something.
And like we do in movies, he names all the stuff that you could have done to get to that point. Why is it taking so long? So he addresses what you're saying.
Yeah. And then he goes out there in his chair and just sits there and watches it. And then Robert comes out and he's like, no, I'm not really in this movie. I'm just watching it. And he kills him anyway.
Spoiler alert.
And then he comes back out and he's, oh, wait, it's not done. Born again as a tricycle.
Right.
I loved that part when the tire discovered he was bulimic. That was awesome. It could blow people up. That
bulimic.
Was
great. Bulimic.
Right. I was expecting the tire to actually kill people by running them over. But I thought that was cool. The telekinetic, making the heads explode.
And how the tire shook when it did it, I thought that was a
you got
the
little wobbly.
Blah,
blah, blah, yeah.
With the cicada sound at the end.
Yeah, cicada sound. Nice.
Yeah, that was. That's what I kept trying to think. Oh, it's a bug or something, isn't it?
It's cicadas, yeah.
I wonder how they made that happen. Just put it on like a big vibrating machine.
I don't know.
Well, the scene that I liked a lot and I got to talk about was after, Max said, after they realized there's one guy still watching and he's like, all right, we got to stop. See, the bullets don't hurt. It's not real. And then he had to go back in. And so he like re-interrogated the owner of the trailer park or the hotel.
The hotel.
And it's like, so tell me about the fat cousin of the thing. You know, could she have killed the thing?
Yeah. Are we still doing this? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Just shut up and get me a pizza. I love this movie.
It was great.
Okay. I'm probably going to watch it again. I might have to go get the DVD just to get some special features
some
or something.
Special features.
Well, I'm going to get in my four tires and drive as far away from you as I possibly can.
I'm writing a letter. I want to know how they did that tricycle. That is going to drive me nuts.
I don't want to talk about the tire of this film. Oh, wait a second. I'm tired of this film.
I'm up with this film.
Hey, I wish I could have liked it with you.
All right. Well, does your rating stick?
No.
No, it doesn't stick?
Nope.
What? What you doing?
I still want more of the tire movie. I'm going to go 4.
Going down a little bit. Max, what are you doing?
I'm going to a 9.
Good God. What do you got?
Going to a 9.
My God. Savage, what do you got?
Oh, if y'all are going to go up, I'll have to go down.
It's not like that. I mean, it's
you
really
don't have
about
to. You don't have
no,
to.
No,
go.
No, I'll stick with a 5.
And we're talking about the 2010 film Rubber, by the way. I'm going to stick with a 2. What's that give us, Max? Out of a possible 50 skid marks, not including...
29.
29?
That's better than hit and run.
So we're going to get into our top threes. Okay, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, and you can get a free audiobook download hoodie and a free 30-day trial at thecufilmcast.net. Simple enough. You go there. Mm-hmm. When you go there, Max, you're going to see a link in the upper right-hand corner. You click that. Mm-hmm. It takes you there. It takes you to Audible.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get a 30-day free trial.
Mm.
Okay.
I like free.
I like it free.
A free 30-day trial, and from that you can choose over 150,000 titles.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah, I could not read 150,000 books.
You don't
listen to 150,000, though. Thanks, Matt.
You think a tire can go 150,000 miles before it needs to be
a Goodyear Vector could.
You think
that's
so?
That's why they stopped making them.
Yeah. Well, you know, Audible's not going to quit making books. We're talking about 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's audible.com. And for you, the listener of the Q Film Cast, there it is. Free audiobook, too. You go there, you get a free audiobook download. I don't know what you're into. Could be anything.
You could read up on the history of Firestone.
You could. You think? Oh, I bet you can.
Holy smokes.
Or Dunlop, the guy that invented the pneumatic tire.
Well, anyways, if there's a book about that, go to audible.com, download that.
For free.
For free, yeah. And you roll away with it.
Ooh.
Just like it's nothing.
But umpumps.
Yeah, you're talking about The Hobbit, Divergent by Veronica Roth.
That blew my head.
Well, this will, because you can also get The Book Thief by Mark Zusak. Crush It, Time Cash In on Your Passion by Gary Vaynerchuk. So self-help book. Right. Go to the QFilmcast.net, click the link in the upper right-hand corner, and go to audible.com. Get your free audiobook download, and that is our sponsor. On to our top three. Remember earlier we said it's a little different this week?
Yeah.
It's a lot different this week.
We didn't land on, hey, here's the top three. Savage, this was your idea. Like this.
Yeah. So we all have different top
threes. Well, and it's a big reveal. You know, we have five different big reviews.
Why did we do this?
I don't know, but I like it.
No
feels
reason.
Good.
No reason.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez, Michael, you so let me down.
Someone's been staring at mine. Hoodie?
I have no idea even what you
Hoodie did. Stole my notes. I'm going to forgive him for that.
Net.
Telepathically, give us your big reveal, Adam. I'm going to you first, as I have been all night. What's your top three, your personal top three for tonight, and then give me the third one.
I didn't know you were bulimic.
He sees dead people.
Top three exploded heads in movies.
What's your number three?
Number three would definitely be the exploding heads from Scanners.
All of them, or just one particular head?
Well, the main one, the first one, really.
That was a scary film as
that's
a kid.
That's
man.
The iconic exploding head, and that's
not
your number
to
three.
Me.
That's your number three.
Oh man,
I got that's a couple other ones.
David Cronenberg film too. That might tie into something.
Love Scanners.
Max, I don't think you're doing exploding heads.
I am not doing exploding heads.
Well, what are you doing? What's yours?
Came to me in a dream.
Uh-oh.
Exploding legs.
Best wheelchairs in movies.
Best wheelchairs in movies.
Wow. Man. In honor of Wingshauser.
That is good.
Taking one for the team and so that old P&J.
That is fantastic. Well, what's your number three?
My number three is Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball.
Gotta get mean.
It was awesome.
What kind of chair do you have?
It looked like an old Power E&J. It was an early E&J. I'd have to say that was an old E&J.
Okay. Don't you
old
find E&J. That be ironic? And we know it's not.
Yeah.
Well, it's Everson Jennings.
Okay.
We us in the biz call it the E&J.
E&J.
I'd have to go back and look to confirm that, but I think it was an E&J.
He ain't like those face and body boys.
That's right. Patches O'Houlihan, Dodgeball.
Excellent. Hoodie, number three of your big reveal, which is your top three what?
Yeah, you guys said random. I might have taken this a little
too far. Right.
I went with saxophones and pop music.
Okay.
That's awesome.
No reason.
And number three is Side A with Smooth Operator.
How does that tie into the film?
I didn't know that it had to.
Okay.
Doesn't have to, does it?
But you know what? We needed one of these to have no sense. No,
no
purpose,
reason.
No reason.
So, no reason.
Side A, Smooth Operator.
That is a good sax part. In that
oh, man. It was so hard. This is one of the hardest top threes I've ever had to do.
That may end up for no reason whatsoever being our ending song.
Saxophones and pop music.
I think we found it. Savage. Hard sub Savage. You're going to reveal your top three, and then give us your third. What is it?
My top three is the top three films called Rubber. And I'll start with the 2010 film Rubber, which we've just reviewed with Steven Spelinka and Wingshauser about a killer rubber tire. So that's my third film named Rubber.
You got to be kidding me. Have you seen all these films?
I have not seen all these films, but they're... Okay. I have a top three films named Rubber.
You know, you've got this thing tied up nicely. Like, talking about the film Rubber. Yeah.
Are the other two banned in like Australia or something?
They may be.
All right, let me tell you what my top three is. I'm going to go with top three hotel room murders.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh. Yeah. Number three for me, Very Bad Things. Hooker murder in a hotel
room.
Oh, that was
a good one. That was a hooker murder.
Hooker on a hook.
Hooker murder.
That was bad news.
That was bad. That was a very bad thing. Actually, when you think about that film, that is what you kind of remember it. Yeah. Okay.
That's about all I remember.
That's about all you need to remember. Look, we made a full circle here, kind of like a tire.
I can't wait to see what the number two exploding hit.
I'm right. Smelling
after Scanners.
Yeah. I know, after Scanners? This is crazy.
Wanted dead or alive. Gene Simmons at the very end where they shoved the grenade in his mouth. And his head just went.
That's not bad.
That was a good little pop there. Yeah, do that again. That's fantastic.
Yeah. He actually could do it again. I'm impressed.
That was a good pop.
Yeah, that was a good pop.
That was awesome.
Wanted dead or alive, Gene Simmons.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer. Mm.
These are all basically the same scene, though, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Somebody's
head. Just wanted to get that out of the way.
I don't recall that movie, but go ahead.
Maybe it's the ending.
I don't remember the film. Max, what's your number two? Wait a second. Let me see if I can get wheelchairs.
Number two.
Number two wheelchairs in film. What?
Number two wheelchair in a movie is Jeffrey Lebowski from The Big Lebowski.
He's the Big Lebowski.
He's the Big Lebowski.
He's not the dude.
He's not the dude. He's the actual Big Lebowski.
What kind of chair was he in?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. Probably another old E&J or an early.
Because it was covered in a blanket.
Early Invacare. Yeah, it had that little square joystick.
Gold plated.
No, I don't think you think you're going to Larry Flint there.
You know, Walter didn't think he was actually deserving the wheelchair. Yeah.
It's because he thought he could walk.
Thought he could walk, yeah.
I didn't cry when I lost my legs.
I'm still not convinced that he couldn't.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Walter was aggressive.
Get a job, Mr. Lebowski. Like Max. Your parents did.
Hoodie, before I pee on your rug, what's your number two?
George Michael with Careless Whisper.
Oh, God, that is a good one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's so random.
I love that song.
Oh, it's good.
So random.
It's a good song. Too bad it's George Michael. But
don't hang on the
Hey,
the
a good
Michael.
Song is a good song.
Good song's a good song. You
we may have
there.
Options for this ending song, after all. Savage, what's your number two?
Number two, film named Rubber. Is a film named Rubber from 2013.
I think you're going to have to break off this and go Flubber at some point.
An English film. Only released in China in 2013 about a guy who witnessed a murder from a doctor who was selling body parts, and some other guy came in. You don't know who the guy is. And I think it's called Rubber because he rubs people out.
Nice.
So
clever.
Right.
I wish I would have watched that one.
It's only released in China? What's
only,
up with that?
It's English, and it's only released in China.
It must be real bad. Only the Chinese can appreciate a film of this quality.
Right. So, second movie called Rubber.
Nice. Well done. All right. So here's my number two. Hotel Room Murders is what I went with. I'm going to give a little shout out to the ladies here. Ladies Night at the Q. Patricia Arquette. No, not Patricia Arquette. Wait.
Roseanne Arquette?
No, I'm sorry. I get my Arquettes mixed up.
David Arquette?
No. So Patricia Arquette in True Romance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
I'm sorry. You have James Gandolfini.
Oh, yeah.
Corkscrew through the foot. She beats him with the lid of a toilet.
Oh, yeah. She killed him.
Yeah, you darn right she did. In the hotel room. That's the whole thing.
Christian Slater loses an eye, I think.
Something like
but
that.
But he's so cool.
Remember, so cool. Don't you remember James Gandolfini's like, God, you know, the first time I did this, I puked, Bell. You got a lot of heart, kid. And he throws his arms up, and she stabs him in the foot with the corkscrew. Mm-hmm. And then she wails on him with the toilet lid.
Yeah,
like
with
that.
The toilet lid. Yeah. That's tank lid, right?
What? Yeah,
the tank lid. Yeah.
Same difference.
Yeah, same thing. I know. It's all part of the toilet.
Well, it's not a toilet seat.
Yeah.
What kind of toilet was that, Max?
A toilet seat.
That's an American standard.
Probably an American standard. Elger. Probably an Elger.
That's an Elger.
That's my number two. That's my number two. That's a good way to go out in a hotel room if you're going to be murdered. Kill me with the toilet. Adam, you're up to number one.
Yep.
Exploding heads. What?
Deadly friend.
Don't know.
Oh, God. Really?
You ever throw mama from the train? Mama got hit in the head with a basketball, and her head exploded all over the wall.
What's the name of the film?
Deadly Friend.
Okay.
They should have called it Deadly Movie.
Max, did you see this film?
Yes. It was terrible.
Deadly Friend sounds kind of like an oxymoron.
Do you think if they would have went in the beginning and told you it had no purpose, it would have been better? Never mind.
If they'd have told me expect much, it would have been better. Because then I'd been like, oh, okay, I read the book. This movie was terrible.
Deadly Friends.
Friend.
Oh, okay. What's your number one, Max? We're talking wheelchairs.
Number one guy in a wheelchair in a movie with the most awesomest wheelchair ever made for a movie.
I know who it is.
Well, in my opinion, as a professional wheelchair expert.
Silver Bullet.
Shut up. That was a stupid wheelchair, by the way.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
That was a stupid wheelchair. Mr. Glass, Unbreakable.
I thought you were going to go Changeling.
Oh, that's good.
I was thinking Changeling.
I thought you were going to go Dr. Lovejoy.
Dr. Lovejoy? Who the hell is that?
Strangelove.
I'm going Mr. Glass.
That's not bad. That's an excellent choice.
It's a classy chair.
That dude had an awesome wheelchair. Yeah. Don't ask me what kind it was. I don't even know.
What about Professor X?
Yeah, Professor X had a pimped up chair, man. He had everything but curb feelers on that thing.
He had a good chair. The guy in Wild Wild West had a sweet steam powered chair.
Yeah, he did.
That was awesome. Huh? Yeah. Dr. Strangelove, I don't even know what that was.
Wild Wild West.
I am going to give an honorable mention right now to the ghost in The Changeling. Because he had that old wicker chair, and it scared. It made me grow some hair down there.
So you got a saxophone song for us, Eddie?
Yeah, my number one is the number one sax song ever, I think, and that's Jerry Rafferty, Baker Street.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Every time. Every time.
Okay.
I knew it.
I got a bunch of honorable mentions. We're just going to kind of let this go.
Yeah, that's...
Never tear us apart.
Yeah, let's kill that one. Inspired by the 2010 film Rubber, which is the film we talked about.
Yeah.
And your top three is what? And give me your number one, Savage.
Well, my top three films called Rubber is a film called Rubber. It's from 1936. It's a Dutch film about Dutch settlers. Yeah, it's a Dutch settlers in Africa, or Borneo, where they're... they've set up a rubber tree plantation.
Oh, rubber tree. Yeah. Oh, okay, sure.
And it was one of the only authentic of the time because that was still the Dutch Empire.
I've heard of this film, actually. Sure. I've heard of this film.
Yeah. It was one of the only films at the time that actually showed the representation of what it was like to live in the jungle to the Dutch audience.
Yeah. You want me to tell you about my favorite film without rubber? Huh?
You got any honorables?
Sir? Nope.
There's not a fourth rubber that you said, no, that's not going to make a list.
I've got some Johnny Loves Rubber, some Rubber Ducky, and some Rubber Tarzan. There's a lot of other rubbers. And there's uses of rubbers.
Okay.
but I'm getting so excited
I might need one myself.
Yeah. Oh, and you just can't hide it.
All right, moving along. My number one...
Hotel room.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with this. If you do not say what I think you're gonna say, you need to be slapped. Go.
Says the man who picked scanners for three.
Scanners is number three.
This is Michael's list. Let the boy talk.
Let the boy do right. Okay. My number one. Hotel Room Murders. This is like the No Country for Old Men appreciation episode. I'm going No Country for Old Men.
Nice.
He comes in and mass murders. Blatantly,
yeah,
hunt you down
in right. a bunch of them,
in a bunch of them. And you know what? No, I liked about it? There were two hotel rooms he went into. He doubled down,
and you never saw it.
Let's take a bet. Let's take a bet to see what Adam is going to say.
Yeah, I was curious about this.
How could you not go with Psycho?
Exactly.
How could you not go with Scanners?
Hotel.
It's not about iconic. Ever. It's about personal preference.
Right.
Adam.
No. I deliberately left it off.
Obviously,
I should have said that in the beginning. It was actually kind of Hotel Room Murders without going into Psycho.
Right.
I want to do something different. Obviously, it's going to be Psycho.
What's the most iconic head-exploding scene in a movie?
Probably Scanners.
Adam's number three, obviously.
It's number three, apparently. It's not as good as Throw Mama from the Train. I had
my top three head-exploding. And I had
Gene Simmons.
Mars Attacks.
I had that on my list.
The Martian. Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Or Big Trouble in Little China with Thunder.
I had Man-Eater.
And then Scanners, number one.
Scanners is number one.
Total Recall.
Hungry Eyes.
Is that Bruce Springsteen song in there?
There's a bunch of them.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. This is going to conclude it. Let's leave it on Eric Carmen and Hungry Eyes. Hungry Eyes. It sounds like a sickness.
And I think that may give us to a reveal.
Hungry Eyes. Jesus. How'd you even think of that? Okay, never mind. So that's the end of the conversation here, guys. That's our breakdown, our review. We made some hard lines drawn. Yeah. I'm the kind of the lone dissenter. I'm all alone.
You're not the lone.
You know what though? I'm like Robert. I'm all alone. I'm out here wheeling it by myself.
We all can't get it. It's okay. Yeah,
sure. We're not all smart.
Yeah. No, not all of us. Apparently, only one of us. Maybe one and a half of us.
Right. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Rubber 2010. Out of a possible 50, we gave it a 29. I think.
Yeah.
Currently streaming on Netflix Instant. If you choose to do so, there you go. Okay, guys, let's get into next week's show. Our big reveal, next in the queue. This week was a listener pick. I think we should go right back in and do it one more time. What do you say?
I think that sounds good.
Yeah. Back to the listeners.
Back to the listeners.
No reason.
Yeah, no reason. No, good reason. David Schultz. David Schultz, friend of the show. Schultz, he's been with us from the beginning.
Big fan.
You know, he put out some films and said, hey, one in particular I want you to talk about. And I think we should because I think it's going to be leaving Netflix soon. Oh. And going back to one of the first episodes, when I first picked Dogtooth, I almost picked this one because I'd just seen it. So it's been around for a long time. We're talking about Antiviral, the David Cronenberg kid film.
David Cronenberg's kid film.
Brandon Cronenberg. Yeah, not just his kid. It's Brandon Cronenberg. Let's give him a name. What do you say?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
he deserves a name.
Yeah, it's a film a lot of people wanted to see when it came out. I did. I actually saw this thing. Okay, so you're going to have to tell me if he over-Cronenberged or not. I think that's a new phrase. Did he over-Cronenberg? Right. He over-Cronenberged.
OC'd.
Yeah.
No, yeah, get ready to get your weird on, okay?
Right.
Anybody here see X-Men First Class?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the only comic book guy films I loved. And Banshee, the guy who played Banshee.
Yeah.
This is like his big breakout role, so he's in it.
Oh, okay. That dude.
Yeah, that guy. Caleb Landry Jones.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
so we're going to check that out next week. And that's a David Schultz pick and Maestro approved.
All right. Rock and roll.
Yeah. It's in my queue, so I've been wanting to see it. So give it a shot.
We'll see.
I like his dad.
So that's next week. Antiviral from 2011. And as always, we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning into the queue. If you like to offer us your thoughts on this film we discussed, Rubber 2010, go to www.theqfilmcast.net. Leave us your comments. We're always happy to hear from you. We'll see you next week when we cue it up and knock it down. 2011 Antiviral from the Cronenberg kid, Brandon.
We got that guy.
And Schultz.
And Schultz, yeah. David Schultz Appreciation episode. There you go.